Retirement Conversation focuses on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join Joe and Dennis and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who have created interesting second acts. You'll take away practical ideas and tips to create your own. At Retirement Wisdom, we as retirement coaches help people think through their transition into retirement, as well as those who are in the early part of retirement but are looking for more from this stage of their lives. To find out more about us and how we can help you, you can schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with us. Simply go to retirementwisdom.com. On the top left corner, click on Get a Free Consultation. We would welcome the opportunity to speak to you. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to today's Retirement Conversation podcast. Today's guest is Bob Lowry. Bob is the author of Preparing for Your Financial Future After Retirement, Preparing for Your Active Life After Retirement, Preparing to Make the Most of Your Free Time After Retirement, and Living a Satisfying Retirement. He has been profiled in Money Magazine and CNN Money, as well as Ad Age Insight white papers. He is also a featured author in nationally released books, 65 Things to Do When You Retire, 65 Things to Do When You Retire / Travel, 70 Things to Do When You Turn 70, and 80 Things to Do When You Turn 80. Bob also is an original contributor to PBS's website Next Avenue. For the past 9 years, Bob has been blogging about having a productive and fulfilling retirement at satisfyingretirement.com. Bob, we're really excited to have you today. Welcome. Is there anything else you'd like to add to your bio?
I think you've covered it. The only thing I would say that when I wrote that piece for the book, 70 Things to Do When You Set We're 70, I was not. And since I turned 70 2 weeks ago, I think I should pull it out and see what I said, because now it legitimately should fit my lifestyle. But no, I think you covered it. It's been a fun life and a good ride, and I appreciate the opportunity today.
Great. And I would just add, Bob, we're waiting for the 90 things to do when you turn 90. So,
well, yeah, the fellow who set that all up is now doing Broadway shows.
Is that right?
So I wouldn't hold your breath. He's moved on.
Good to know.
Well, I'm waiting for the play, the adaptation. So, Bob, what motivated you to write about retirement?
Lack of information. I retired early, not by choice, but because my business started dying under my feet for various reasons. But the business was evaporating, and I had to make a choice to either put a bunch of money in it and much more time to resurrect it, or to say, that's enough, I've done it, let's move on. And after a conversation with my wife, we decided we could pull it off. So at that point, I was 52 and she was 47, and we decided, let's try it. But I had nowhere to go to find out how to do that. At that point, basically all the information available was financially oriented. Tons of information, books, some very early on websites and so forth about how to get ready for retirement or how to manage your financial resources, but virtually nothing on how to live your life during retirement. How do you manage your time? How do you deal with relationship changes? What do you do about vacations? I mean, if you're retired, do you really need a vacation? All the things that are part of life were not available. So bottom line is I wrote what I needed to know about. I found a need, which was mine, went and found the answers, wrote about it, and figured I probably wasn't the only person who needed to know this stuff. So that's where it all started. It's just a lack of information about something for retirement that wasn't financially based.
And what do most people not know about retirement, but should?
Well, what do most people not know about retirement, but should? I would say they tend to overthink it. Basically, it is a stage of life. I mean, we go through various stages during our life, and retirement is just one of those stages. It has pretty much the same opportunities and pretty much the same problems of any other time of life. Just because you're not getting a regular paycheck doesn't mean all the things about your life stop. Water heaters break, the bills come in, a chance to go on a nice vacation happens. It's the same as the rest of your life, but I think most people worry that retirement means everything will adjust, everything will change, everything you have done before will no longer apply, and that's not true. Retirement really is just another phase of life, but one that brings with it incredible opportunities and freedom that you really don't have any time after probably the age of six, when your parents did everything when you were growing up. Between then and retirement, you're pretty much boxed in by all sorts of responsibilities and so forth, and retirement takes most of that away. So that's the exciting part.
And what are the essential ingredients in a satisfying retirement?
Well, I think financial foundation, I just mentioned early on that I couldn't find anything other than financial information, but that is not to even remotely suggest that that part of a satisfying retirement isn't essential. You've got to have an essential foundation of finances to be able to pull this off. Now, anybody will tell you a number. You can go online and you'll find out, oh, if you don't have $1 million, forget it. If you don't have $2 million, forget it. None of that applies, frankly. What you need is what you need to cover your lifestyle. And the lifestyle you design and pick will determine what your finances will be. But financial foundation is still the number one step. Once you have that set up, you've run the numbers, you got a budget, you figure it's going to work, that's number one. I say number two is probably time management. When you're no longer working for a steady paycheck, suddenly nobody else is telling you when to come to work, when to leave, what to do, when the report is done. Even if you're working on your own, you have deadlines, you have times set for you by other people. Well, when you retire, you don't. And so too many retirees will fall into the trap of just sitting and just letting life kind of slide by because they really don't know how to manage all that free time. Or they become remarkably nervous about the fact that they suddenly have to plan their full day. You're responsible for 24/7, nobody else is, and so for some people that's a little stressful. So time management, learning how to use the time to best meet your needs is I'd say second. Third is relationship strengthening. Whether you're married or not, you're going to interact with people. I can guarantee you that if you leave a job where you work with other people, everyone says, oh, I'll stay friends with those people. We'll still have lunch. Doesn't happen. As soon as you leave work within a very short period of time, you really have nothing to talk with about those people. They are doing something else. They're in another environment, another universe. And so it's important for you as a retired person to develop new relationships, friendships. And if you are married or in some sort of long-term relationship, suddenly you are around each other 24 hours a day, and you had better figure out how not to get on each other's nerves and how to use that time together to grow as a couple. Learning how to deal with being around and fitting into an environment and fitting into a lifestyle of someone who's already been at home is difficult, but very important. Too many times someone will go back to work or have a stressful relationship because they walk into a house that's running very well and suddenly decide they know how to do it better. And that's not really a way to approach this kind of problem. So relationship building, I'd say, is third. And finally, absolutely developing passions and interests that motivate you to get up in the morning. There's only so many Games of Thrones you can watch, so many television shows, so many books you can read. I mean, I probably read 2 books a year, but there are only so many you can read, and you really have to find things that are going to get you interested and get you excited about life. And I found blogging to be one of those things for me. It just turned out that blogging and writing was something that encouraged me. Finding that passion, finding that thing that really motivates you is going to be a search. It's nothing that suddenly happens. You're going to run through interests. You're going to say, this is what I really like, and you'll find out in a couple of months or a couple of years, either, no, it's not, or you're bored with it and you want to do something else. So it's constantly evolving your interests and your passions, and that's one of the joys of relationships. But it's also critical to what you're going to end up doing, finding that passion or that those interests that motivate you and keep you involved and excited.
Outside of the financial, the time management, the relationship strengthening, and the and developing passions, what do you think is the hardest for people to do, or does it literally different for everybody?
Oh, it's absolutely different for everybody. This is a completely unique version for every single one of us. There are tons of books. There are even blogs. I happen to write one that try to tell you what to do or at least suggest what you can do. But you will determine once you've begun this journey that it is uniquely yours. The mix of money, people, opportunities, lifestyle, what you want to accomplish, what you're tired of accomplishing is unique to everybody. So there is no, absolutely no one size fits all. This is really up to each person to build this so that you're happy, you're satisfied, and you're productive. So, you know, that really takes some pressure off you as a retiree. There is no failure. You can't fail because you're doing what you are supposed to be doing. So don't ever let anybody tell you you're doing it wrong, or you should be doing this, or you should be spending that, or you should be living here. It's totally unique and totally up to you to make that decision.
And it is unique for everyone. But one of the many things I like about your writing is that it paints an optimistic but realistic picture of retirement. What are the major obstacles that need to be overcome to create a satisfying retirement?
Oh, I guess probably number one is fear of the unknown, because again, the structure of your life has just been pulled out from under your feet if you've worked a typical job and you left the house, or even if you've had a job at home and had clients and did what you do at home. That suddenly ends when the checks stop or when you decide to stop and hang it up. So there's fear of the unknown because none of us walk down this path ahead of time. It's all brand new from the first day you do it. So I'd say fear of the unknown is probably the biggest. Well-meaning advice of others can get in the way. It's great to hear what other people think, but you will drive yourself crazy if you try to say, I'm going to have my retirement just like that guy or just like my father-in-law or just like whomever. So trying to follow what others do is probably the second biggest mistake. And I think maybe since retirement really is a journey, you got to be ready to change whatever it is you're doing, your plans, how you live, where you live, the direction of your life. You got to be able to change that when it's not working. Assuming everything that you thought was going to happen will happen is wrong. And sticking with a plan you made forever just because you made the plan will not work. Just like virtually any part of life or any time of life, it changes, and you are going to have to learn to adjust to that change. But I would say that's the exciting part. Because I am no longer retirees or no longer restricted to whatever path has been previously determined. I can decide tomorrow to write a blog about, I don't know, something else. I can decide tomorrow to move into my RV. I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities. So it's that ability to abandon a plan, abandon what you think your life is going to be like, and follow the path of what you want your life to be.
I'm curious, what have you been most surprised to learn about retirement? And perhaps even yourself in your own retirement so far?
Oh, my biggest surprises. I think all of what I just said, in that I'm a very meticulously planning kind of person. I certainly type A personality, and my career was designed around getting other people to do what I wanted them to do. That's what a consultant does. So my job was to convince people that I had the answers and they just needed to follow me and they'd all get rich and famous. And it was hard for me to accept that that is not true. I sold that, but that's not for me. That wasn't the answer because I, again, had to take my own advice and just change as things went along. But for me, it was the first couple years were rough. I will admit that. I was worried about the finances. I stayed up late at night and didn't sleep well because I thought there's no way I can retire at 52 and still be okay. I hadn't planned on it. And so I figured this is not going to work. And I also had to figure out what to do with my time. And I also had to figure out that I didn't have all the answers and I had to stop and think and look for something and take the time to make it right. So that for me was probably the toughest, but after a couple of years, I think I found my stride, and it worked out well.
You recently wrote a great piece about radical retirement and profiled a number of people who you know. What does it take to have a radical retirement?
Well, it's going to sound somewhat repetitive, but this is really the answer to that question, is follow your own path. there is a standard retirement. You move to Sun City, you play bocce ball, you watch TV at night, and you go to the Blue Plate Special at 4 o'clock. That's the image of a lot of people, unfortunately, although I don't think it's true for my generation as much as it was for my parents' generation. But for a radical retirement, the word radical really just means your own. It doesn't mean you have to suddenly, start wearing tie-dye shirts again and live in a yurt somewhere. Radical just means you're not going to follow anybody's path except your own. You're going to trust your own instincts. I mean, if you got to the point where you can retire, you already have proven that you know how to survive in this world, and you've made more right decisions than wrong. So trust your instincts and realize you can change who you are. Whoever you were when you were working, whoever you are as you're going through retirement, you can change that person. You don't have to be that same person at all. And doing whatever pleases you, I guess, marks a good radical retirement, and you're not pleasing other people. You are pleasing yourself, because, you know, we only got one go-around on this, and there's no do-overs, so what better time to please yourself than when you have control?
Bob, what's your view on the importance of people having goals when they retire? You know, we all grew up in the business world, a lot of us, and we all have been goal-oriented, achieve this, achieve that, but I was just curious.
Goals are important. I think if you don't have some sort of goal as a human being, you stop growing. If you don't have something you're moving towards or wanting to accomplish or, you know, hoping to achieve, you pretty much, the day goes by and you say, oh my goodness, it's already Thursday. What happened to Monday? So goals are important. Now, what kind of goal is what's different in retirement? When you're working, a goal is, you know, sales numbers or X number of dollars per year income or making yourself better known, whatever. In retirement, the goals are personal. I really want to spend the time to learn to play the guitar. I really want to improve my marriage by paying more attention to what my wife or my husband is doing. So I think that's really the answer, is that goals are very important to know what you're moving towards. But as we talked about earlier, it's also vital that you know when it's time to change that goal or adjust what you're aiming towards, because it is going to change. It's not going to stay the same.
I think that's important. This journey aspect you mentioned is you're going to view different roads and different paths, and you got to be willing to be flexible enough to move with them, right?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of just quick examples from my life. I mean, when I was growing up, I ended up, 4 years into retirement, I ended up getting involved in prison ministry. And if you had told me any time prior to that I would find myself inside a locked up prison, talking to a room full of prisoners, and then meeting them in their cells, I would have suggested you were a little off. Completely alien to anything I had ever done before or knew before, but it turned out to be one of the most gratifying and important experiences of my retirement in getting involved in helping prisoners make the transition back. But that's a good example of something where I wouldn't have believed you if you told me I would have done that. And it just happened through a set of circumstances, and it proved out to be incredibly important to me. So those kind of serendipitous possibilities, you just have to be open to.
Bob, you recently took a 6-week sabbatical from blogging. And I'm curious, what was that like, and what did you learn from it?
Well, it was because I'd been doing it for, at that point, about 8.5 years, and I thought I'd run out of things to say. You can only talk about the 7 steps to a happy retirement and so forth so many times before you get stale. I know there are brand new readers all the time, and they had never heard that information, but they're also a pretty solid core of people who have been with me for several years. And I was just finding it hard to get motivated to write the same topics over and over again. So I thought, I don't want to quit, because blogging is too important to me. It's my creative outlet, but I do want to take a break and reassess what I'm writing about. So I announced on the blog I was doing that. I left it open-ended. After 6 weeks, I had decided the itch had come back and I needed to move forward. But what I did was change, in many ways, the direction of what I write about. It's, since then, it's been much more personal, much less focused on the nuts and bolts of retirement and much more on the, I think, the personal and the interpersonal relationships and the inside part of what retirement is and is not. So I've changed my focus a bit, and it's just become a more personal experience. So there was an excellent break. I mean, when I first stepped away, I felt relief. And then after a month, I got sort of antsy. And that's when I started thinking, okay, if I want to come back, what do I write about? Well, I'll write about retirement because that's where I've been making my mark. But I want to write about it differently and more from my perspective and not from just as the teacher consultant aspect. So that's what happened.
Well, glad you're back. Great to see the blogs. The recent one on FOMO was great. Great to read.
Bob can say more about it, but fear of missing out. And it talked about FOMO. It talked about this whole impact that social media is having today. And some great tips in there on how people can control this. You said at the end of your blog, there are more cell phones in this world than people. Ouch.
Isn't that terrifying? And that or the fact that Americans check their cell phones 80 times a day is hard to believe. I like the fact that somebody added a comment on that particular post about JOMO, which is joy of missing out, which I thought was kind of fun. And somebody turned it around on me and talked about they have the joy of missing out by having a dumb phone and not letting social media run their life. So
that's great.
Kudos to that person.
Absolutely.
That's great. Bob, if someone listening is planning for retirement, what advice would you offer them on how to best prepare for life in retirement?
All right. And this is where you have to listen carefully, because I'm going to say two things that I just said aren't terribly important. Number one is financial planning. Yes, you've got to plan financially, but once you retire, stop worrying about it. I spent the first 2 years scared that I was going to go broke, that we were going to live on the street. It was all couldn't possibly work. And it turned out during the 2008-2009 recession, I worried not a second, which made no sense. I was watching my investments, lose value by the day. I had some rental properties that were having problems being filled or being sold. And I didn't worry because I had proven to myself over at that point, 60 some years, that it will work. I can make this work. I can cut what I spend. I can adjust how I live. I can be very happy with much less than I used to have. So it was a tremendous experience and teaching tool to me that get your finances in order, for goodness sakes, budget and know what you've got before you start. But then once you take the step, trust in your numbers, trust in yourself, and it will work out. And the second thing is what you just referred to a minute or two ago about goals, is that don't retire to nothing. You know, basically a lot of people retire from something, but not to something. And you retire from work, you retire from whatever you're retiring from, but you've got nothing to retire to. And so you really have to know or learn or be open to what is that thing that you're going to retire to. And it changes. It changes weekly, monthly, yearly. I'm not nearly the same person I was when I retired 18 years ago. My interests are different. How I spend my money is different. I am so much more satisfied with less of the toys and bells and whistles than I used to be. It doesn't interest me anymore. So all of that has evolved just based on what makes me happy and what makes my family tick. So you have to be able to make that adjustment. But it's a constant process. It really is. So if you want a happy and satisfying retirement, don't get fixated on what you think should happen. I hate to use an expression from the 60s, but go with the flow. Okay. Make your plans and then just adjust as things happen. And I can pretty much guarantee you, you are going to be just fine. If you got to that point where you can retire, you've already proven you can do it.
You said some key word there. You said make the plans. People have to be in some intentional about even when obviously when it comes to the financial side planning, but spend time with this. Spend some time planning, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, make plans, and this is where you pull out all the stuff when you were younger, and you said, I've always wanted to do this. Oh, I used to really love to do this, and then I stopped, or I went through college, and I don't think I read a book. I just tried to get through and, get my GPA okay. Now is when you look back and you can say all those things that I didn't do earlier that kind of lit my fire, I can redo. And there's no reason. I mean, there are 80-year-olds running the Boston Marathon, for goodness sakes. So if there's anything that you didn't do when you were younger that you thought you wanted to do, give it another shot. It may not work for you. It may not interest you anymore, but there's absolutely nothing to prevent you from trying something again that you think you loved before, and you want to see if you still carry that into retirement.
A lot of wisdom in going with the flow.
Yep, it's not very deep, but it's true. It's just absolutely true that every day is a new day, and every day is a new opportunity to do something new, different, exciting, or frankly, sit on the back porch and listen to the birds for 2 hours with your cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. No one is telling you you can't do that, and no one is telling you you have to do it.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
Isn't that a nice change?
So really embrace that freedom, but also be open to adjusting as circumstances change, as you mentioned.
Yes.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, thank you for your time. This has been great. I know it's going to help a lot of people. Certainly will help us learn more about retirement. How can people best follow your work?
Well, you mentioned the books, and if nobody remembered all those, just go to Amazon and type in the search field my name, Bob Lowry, and it'll pull them up, and you can buy them or get them free on your Kindle. And the other place, of course, is just the blog, and that's just search for Satisfying Retirement Blog. The actual address is satisfyingretirement.com. And that's about it.
And we'll have the links to all of those in our show notes for people if they want to connect that way.
Well, that's excellent. I appreciate that. And yes, people can find your work on my blog too. So it all works out.
Excellent. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Dennis, what are your takeaways from our conversation today with Bob Lowry?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. I've really very much enjoyed speaking with Bob today and him sharing a lot of his insights. Particularly like the fact that, he's been at this for a while, and he retired when he was pretty young, and he did some planning for this. It took him a while to get adjusted, but he has a very satisfied retirement today, and he was very positive about his retirement life and how he's been able to adapt to it. So give him a lot of credit, and it's also a good message for people that there's a lot of really good things to look forward to here. A few other things. He mentioned some of the key obstacles. Talked about fear of the unknown. Yep. This is change for people. So yes, change is coming, change ahead, and people are not sure what's there, but that is definitely an obstacle for people. Don't follow others. He mentioned that there's really no one-size-fits-all retirement, and that retirement is unique for everyone. Totally agree with that. I personally agree with that. Don't try and make your retirement life somebody else's retirement life. Make it your own. So again, that'll take some energy and some effort. But there's some deep reflection people can do to figure out what it is that they really want this part of their life to be like. And then finally, he mentioned about being adaptable, willing to change, that when things are not working. So it's a great opportunity here. There's retirement is a You're your own boss. You have a lot of freedom. So if you're trying things and it's not kind of working out, then be able to move with the flow a little bit. The last thing that he mentioned, or one of the things he mentioned, I should say, was this importance of goals. He said goals were important. He thought they were important, and all depended on the kinds of goals. And I just share my quick perspective on that. I think goals are important for a couple of reasons. One, most of us have been goal-oriented in one way, shape, or form during our lives. So why stop that now when you go into this next stage of your life? I think it could be in a very important part and a natural extension of your life. Ask yourself a question. What did you enjoy most about achieving goals in your life? I think those things help you reflect a little bit. I think goals also help you focus. I also think, as I mentioned, achievement is a very powerful thing. I also think that achieving things or setting goals and working towards them on a regular basis can help balance other parts of your life. So if you think about it, what makes you feel good? If if shooting for, you know, goal A, and you spend a little bit of time on goal A during a week or a day or a month or whatever, and you're getting that part of it done, that could also give you great balance and relief to spend time doing other things in your life. So I think it helps the balance aspects. Joe, what about yourself?
I'd highlight three things. He mentioned that once you've got the financial foundation set, you can turn your attention to embracing retirement as a separate phase of life. Maybe some things you can take from earlier phases that may apply, but some things might be different and new, but think of it as a separate phase. And along with that, then figure out how to follow your own path and give yourself some time to explore that and to do that and get that right, because it does take some time to get used to that. Secondly, once you've done that, be flexible. Be willing to adjust when the circumstances change and your interest level changes on certain things. And then to be able to go with the flow, very memorable. And then third, cultivate your passions and interests. He recommends starting with going back to things that you may have been interested in the past, maybe when you were younger, and things that you always wanted to do but didn't have time to do while you were working. But he also talked about that there's a search involved for some passions and interests. So take the time to explore different things, see what you like best. And keep in mind, as he recommends, that interests evolve over time. So something that you're interested in at year two in retirement might be different at year 10. But get involved with that search and spend some time doing that. And also pay attention to time management, because you don't want to be in the situation that he talked about, where some people, without that, let life slide by.
Thanks for joining us today on The Retirement Conversation. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.